What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, December 26, 2018. Happy Boxing Day. Happy Kwanzaa. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations. And big news right now. First of all, the Dow is having a heck of a day. It's up over 1,000, and I don't know what's there to explain it, plunge protection team, or everybody just decided it was a buy opportunity. But it's up over 1,000. So the money junkies are happy today here. Donald Trump made an unannounced visit to the soldiers in Iraq. He took First Lady Melania with him. They're over there right now. And Trump is tweeting out videos of him with all of our soldiers. And I think that was a very nice thing for him to do. Over the weekend, in fact, on Christmas Day, Israel attacked Damascus. And the Syrian air defenses intercepted hostile targets over the capital. Now, supposedly, all but two of the Israeli missiles were shot down. And apparently, Israel was able to get into position because they hid behind passenger airlines. They used them as cover. And they were basically, there were six Israeli F-16 fighters. They violated Lebanese airspace and while passing over Sidon, fired 16 laser-guided GBU-39 bombs towards targets in and around the capital of Damascus, 14 of which were intercepted by the Syrian air defense systems. Now, the Russian Ministry of Defense has confirmed the IDF jets flew into firing position just as two civilian passenger airliners were in the air preparing for their landings in both Beirut and Damascus Airport. And as a result, Syrian military defense units did not deploy its surface-to-air missiles and electronic jamming against the F-16s. They just sat there swatting the Israeli missiles out of the air and apparently were quite successful at it. Now, the Russian Ministry of Defense is saying that by doing this, the IDF created a direct threat to these two passenger planes. And I imagine these airlines are probably going to have some complaints. I understand that both Syria and Lebanon are already filing formal complaints with the UN Security Council over Israel's violation of their territory. And basically saying this was a provocation on the part of Israel. Now, Israel is saying the target of the raids were Iranian weapons depot near Damascus. Of course, that's what they always say. And Lebanese state-run national news said the Israeli warplanes performed mock raids above southern Lebanon. Just rattling the windows here. Now, it's interesting to note that the S-300 missile system is not yet in active service. Apparently, the Syrians are having a little trouble training on up. They're expected to go online the middle of next month or possibly February, which means if Israel's going to do something dramatic, they have to do it within the next 4 to 6 weeks. Meanwhile, story that we're seeing coming on out from Russia's Nazivisimaya Gazette said that Israel is preparing for a comprehensive war on Syria following the U.S. withdrawal from the country. And the newspaper said that Trump's decision to withdraw American troops from Syria has left Israel forced to face the Iranian presence in Syria with its troops alone. So Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman is out there saying that the American departure is raising the morale of President Bashar al-Assad and his allies, Iran and Lebanese Hezbollah. So it's getting very, very tense over there. Meanwhile, Israel, which loves to build walls, they were building a cement border wall opposite the southern Lebanese village of Kfar Kila. And apparently they were forced to halt construction when the Lebanese army pointed out that they were not actually building the wall on the border, but in fact were building it quite a distance into Lebanese territory, which Israel has done in the past. They certainly did it with their security wall, where they sent it deep into Palestinian territory and just locked it on up here. But apparently a team from the Lebanese Army's Geographic Affairs Unit was seen standing behind the border fence and marking disputed areas just beyond it. The Army then informed UNIFIL personnel on the ground, who in turn ordered the Israeli soldiers to move back 7 meters behind the planned course of the cement wall that Israel wanted. So, all right, as you know, Mattis is out, and the concern is Blackwater may be back. And apparently, they're already running an ad in the gun and hunting magazine Recoil, recruiting people. And the banner headline on the ad is, "We are coming." So we know that Trump is pulling all of the U.S. forces out of Syria. He's pulling about half the forces out of Afghanistan. Are we really ending the wars in those countries, or are they about to become privatized and hence a lot more expensive here? All righty. Now, a lot of people are still responding to Trump's decision to pull out of Syria. And apparently, ex-Republican Senator Rick Santorum basically slammed Donald Trump in an interview on CNN, arguing the United States was abandoning its allies. Now, Santorum previously represented Pennsylvania, said he's a very strong supporter of the president, but that the move is not a good idea, arguing that it will embolden Iran and allow Turkey to target the Kurds. And that last one definitely looks like it's about to happen here. So Santorum said, "I'm very disappointed in the president that he would do this in this fashion." So where are those troops going? Are they really coming home, or are they being redeployed for some other adventure? That's what we don't know yet. What we do know is that Republicans and undemocratic Democrats are in lockstep over Washington's aim to rule the world militarily, wanting all nations co-opted as vassal states, the American Empire. And it's probably the only thing that we have a unanimity of opinion on. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. Senator Pat Toomey, who's the current senator from Pennsylvania, and he's a very influential voice in the Senate Republican Conference, says he and his GOP colleagues need to step up to balance President Trump's foreign policy decisions. So this is another voice saying, bad idea to pull out of Syria. And Toomey said on Sunday, "The vast majority of Republicans disagree with Trump's sudden and unexpected announcement that he would withdraw 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria because he believes the terrorist threat posed by ISIS in the region has been defeated." And I imagine the timer is now running on a false flag to remind us that ISIS is still out there here. Ron Paul, of course, disagrees. He thinks pulling the troops out of Syria and Afghanistan is a good start. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because all of a sudden, the never-Trumpers, who for the last 2 years have been telling us the president was dangerous because he could get us into a war, now they're angry because he's trying to end two wars. They're angry because he's trying to make peace with North Korea. No making those people happy. General Wesley Clark, the former commando of NATO's forces, questioned whether Turkish President Recep Erdogan actually blackmailed President Trump into his decision to remove U.S. troops from Syria. And Wesley Clark went on to say, "There doesn't seem to be any strategic rationale for the decision. And if there's no strategic rationale for the decision, then you have to ask, why was the decision made?" So people around the world are asking this, and some of our friends and allies in the Middle East are asking, did Erdogan blackmail the president? Was there a payoff or something? Why would a guy make a decision like this because all the recommendations were against it? Well, he is the president, and he does get to make those decisions. And it's no secret he wanted to get out of Syria. He was talking about it last March. And I think it's coming on down to, you know, who's running the show here? And Donald Trump is the president, and policy is his, you know, his playground, if you will. He is the commander-in-chief. Now, as the Syrian militants skedaddle, they have left many weapons caches behind. And when they were retreating from the Syrian army, they're discovering all these underground militants' caches close to the border with the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. And apparently inside it were weapons from the U.S. and from Israel. There were anti-tank missiles, mortars, rifles, and machine guns. These were produced in the U.S., Israel, and Jordan, as well as huge amounts of ammunition. And apart from the weaponry, the Syrian army found protective gear, satellite communication devices, and medical equipment also made in the U.S. and Israel. So we know who was really backing these so-called militants here. Now, not all the U.S. troops are on their way to the border just yet. Apparently, eyewitnesses are saying that U.S. troops are still on patrol in the Syrian city of Manbij. And they're still patrolling the streets. And, of course, the further away from the coast you are, the longer it's going to take to get on out of there. So they're probably just, you know, guarding the rear of the departing forces here. Apparently, U.S. airstrikes are also continuing inside Syria, despite the withdrawal announcement. Now, Trump said the air campaign would continue until all of the U.S. soldiers were out. But this article, which is from Axios, is out there saying, well, the message these airstrikes are sending is that in point of fact, ISIS has not been defeated. Bad president, no cookie. Things are getting really kind of tense around Turkey because with the U.S. withdrawal from Syria, it is looking like the U.S. has basically abandoned the Kurds. It was a short-term relationship, if you will, and it looks like the party may be over. So apparently, responding to a Twitter outburst from Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who called President Erdogan the occupier of northern Cyprus and accused his forces of massacring women and children in the Kurdish villages. Basically, Ankara came on back and said they don't need permission from Israel or anyone to fight terror. Now, France is reportedly promising the Kurdish SDF support following the U.S. withdrawal from Syria. This has angered Ankara, that's warning France against supporting the U.S.-backed Kurdish militia. So that's another area of friction that could get really, really ugly. Meanwhile, Turkey is massing tanks on the Syrian border as Erdogan prepares to move against the Kurds after the U.S. leaves. And apparently, Erdogan's forces were pictured arriving in border cities of Kilis and Al Rey after the country's foreign minister said they will push into Syria as soon as possible. Now, Turkey says they're going to take over the fight against ISIS, but they're also going to go after the Kurds. Now, here's an interesting little development. This is coming from Fars News. Apparently, Iran and Russia are working toward widening their military cooperation. Chief of Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, Major General Mohammad Hossein Bagheri, underlined the need for Tehran and Moscow to increase their military cooperation, adding that both countries are determined to confront existing threats. Now, obviously, this is going to complicate things for the United States, which maybe repositioning forces for that long-anticipated, much-desired war against Iran. Because Russia may be getting ready to do in Syria, or rather in Iran, what they did in Syria, which is to simply hold off the invasion, which is what Russia successfully did. They prevented the United States from taking over the country, and they may be about ready, they may be prepared to do the same thing in Iran. Meanwhile, the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps is holding military drills in the Persian Gulf. The maneuvers are aimed at showcasing their newest defense capabilities and deterring potential threats posed by their enemies. Apparently, they showcase sophisticated communication systems, radars, tanks, and infantry fighting vehicles. Okay, last week we had a story that kind of came and went, and it did, unfortunately, go viral. And it was a claim that came from a website with a less than wonderful reputation that Iran patrol boats had fired rockets at the USS John C. Stennis aircraft carrier, which arrived in the Persian Gulf last Friday. Now, the reason I didn't run the story is it didn't make any sense. Iran does not want to provoke anything. And so my little weirdo meter said, I'm not believing this one. But apparently there's been a statement from the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, Navy Rear Admiral Alireza Tangsiri, who said, no, nobody fired rockets near the John C. Stennis. It's a hoax. It's fake news. He added that the IRGC vessels monitored the U.S. fleet and further stressed the Iranian drone's capability to monitor any foreign vessel which enters the region. He says their goal is to defend the waters of Iran, and we are present in the region with strength and full intelligence superiority. Now, Deputy Chief of Iran's Army for Coordination, Rear Admiral Habibullah Sayari, has made the remark once again that U.S. warships are not to approach or enter Iran's territorial waters, and said that as far as he was concerned, the presence of the USS John C. Stennis is insignificant, that they're prepared to deal with it. It's a little bit of tough talk, I think, here. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif is saying Tehran will not stand by for Europeans to fulfill their commitments under a multilateral nuclear agreement signed between Iran and six major world powers in 2015, following the United States' move to simply pull out of the deal. And Zarif said the Europeans are acting very slowly in the fulfillment of their commitments under the agreement. And he says Iran is not going to wait around for them unless they adopt practical steps. Now, whether that means Iran is getting ready to pull out of the deal or not remains to be seen. Over in Libya, their foreign ministry in the capital of Tripoli was attacked by suicide attackers. Who stormed the Libyan foreign ministry in the capital, Tripoli, yesterday, killing at least three people, including a senior civil servant, in an attack claimed by ISIS. There's your false flag. And 21 people were wounded in the attack. A car bomb exploded near the ministry, prompting security forces to rush to the scene. A suicide bomber then blew himself up on the second floor of the building, while a second attacker died when a suitcase he was carrying exploded. So, yeah, we can expect something spectacular in the name of ISIS. Okay, we're going to take a break here for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words.
Power of love, so that every day's great. First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our
party. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, up in Oregon, there was a tragic incident where this Saudi national, Abdulrahman Samir Noura, who was apparently arrested all the way back in August 2016 and indicted for first-degree manslaughter, hit-and-run, reckless endangerment, and reckless driving after killing 15-year-old Fallon Smart in Portland, Oregon. And apparently, Noura's $100,000 bond was posted by the Consulate of Saudi Arabia, and in early June of 2017, he removed his monitoring device and vanished. His whereabouts were thought to be unknown until U.S. officials learned from the Saudi government he had returned to the kingdom. This was reported in the Oregonian. So basically, the Saudi government helped a felon to escape justice in this country. Now, Saudi Arabia's done a lot of things that people are very upset about: the war in Yemen, Khashoggi, and there is now a growing movement a campaign, if you will, to boycott Saudi products, along with the boycott divestment sanctions against Israel. Now they want to basically boycott Saudi-made products. Now, a number of Saudi-made products are actually American goods, just manufactured on Saudi soil. And apparently they're going to launch a Twitter storm, basically pointing people at the boycott. And remember, boycotts are a recognized form of peaceful protest. Okay. Apparently, John Bolton is coming down heavy-handed with Africa through AFRICOM's massive military infiltration of the area. And he's now saying that Africa has to make a choice between the U.S. and China. Now, as you know, China has built a couple of bases in Africa, and the United States is now telling Africa, you have to get out, or rather, you have to choose. China has to leave, one or the other. Wouldn't it be embarrassing if Africa said, you know, we're going to go with the Chinese because they're actually building stuff, and America's just blowing it up. Now, this comes hard on the heels of Donald Trump tweeting out over Chinese attempts to gain a competitive advantage in Africa through practices that supposedly include bribes, opaque arrangements, and the strategic use of debt to hold states in Africa captive. And by golly, that's our job. That's what the United States does. Hold nations in debt to control them. All right, we're going to take a phone call from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, all of a sudden, every Chinese device has a monitoring system in it, you know? What a load, Mike. Like, this is a desperate empire, Mike. You know, like, this is where we're at. You know, they know they're in decline because they're pulling all these. I mean, this is World War II stuff with Japan and, you know, Germany. You know, blame them, blame them, blame them, right? Fox News is doing it, right? CNN, MSNBC, they're all on the same page now with this also, with the Chinese, Russia, right?
Yep.
See? Yeah, it's all leading to one thing, because every day they're getting stronger, and we're getting weaker. You know, just look at the stock market, up and down, up and down, up and down, right?
They certainly had a good day today.
Yeah, well, I didn't know even when it ended, but, you know, I don't think it's going to last, though, by the last couple of weeks. You know, that.
Well, it opened at 200, then it went into the red by quite a wide margin, and then something happened to just shove it up to over 1,000. And I suspect the plunge protection team may have been deployed on this one.
Wasn't that odd that Steve Mnuchin called on his vacation Sunday? Calling that conference,
yeah,
saying that's a bizarre moment. that something must have spooked them to make that call, you know, the conference call. But hey, Mike, when's the last time an Iranian person drove over somebody over here and fled the country and get? It happens to either Israel or Saudi Arabia. They flee to their countries of origin. There, you know, it's like. But you won't hear that on the news. If it was an Iranian that did it, you know, Mike, it would have been front page. The Iranians drove over an American citizen, and they're holding their Iranian. You know, I mean, it's. And you know what, Mike? Nothing's going to be done. That guy's not coming back. Do you think that guy's coming back?
No, of course he's not coming back. You know, he's happy at his home. Okay, Dustin, we have got to take another commercial break. I want to hold you over, so don't hang up, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're getting an update about President Trump's visit to the troops in Iraq. He has announced there will be no troop withdrawal from Iraq. And then he followed it with this odd comment that the U.S. could use Iraq as a base from which to conduct operations in Syria. So it looks like Syria is not off the table after all. All right, we're talking with Dustin in New Jersey. And Dustin, yeah, we're if you were my age, you would recall the kind of corporate media propaganda that was constantly just hammering into our heads why we had to be afraid of the Soviets, why we had to be afraid of China, why we had to go into Vietnam. And it was just selling that war and selling it over and over, and I'm seeing it all over again. History may not repeat, but it's certainly rhyming.
And afraid of your own citizens, too. You know, it's divide and conquer kind of crap, you know. Be afraid of the people who are against transgenders and gays, or be afraid of the patriots. And you know, it's a typical, it's the same playbook. You know, dates and times change, the playbook stays the same, right?
Yes, very much so. I'm still trying to figure out how all this transgender nonsense fits in with the master plan.
Yeah, like they'll be expendable too, just like everybody else. Hey, Mike, on the Syria thing, like, Isn't it odd, like, it just Israel always pulls these stunts when there's, like, planes in the air now? You know? With the passenger planes,
I mean, they did put those passenger planes at risk. If Syria had tried to fire on the F-16s, the passenger planes could have been hit, which is precisely why Israel did it. And, you know, Russia's complaining that, Israel placed those passenger planes at risk. And under the normal rules of warfare, you're not supposed to expose civilians to danger. Of course, unfortunately, the United States and Israel are bombing civilians left and right. So what's two more plane loads full?
Yeah, we'll be at the UN. Veto, whatever they do.
Yep, they will be. I mean, you would think Israel would be a little more reticent because of the political fallout from the shoot down of that Ilyushin 20 a while back that was basically caused by Israel flying into Syria. And they may have even used that plane for radar cover to discourage Syria from shooting at them. And Russia is saying that Israel did not give sufficient advance notice of the raid where Russia could get that plane safely on the ground.
Well, I mean, there's talk now maybe Moscow is going to extend the range for the missile umbrella there. You know, maybe to like...
Yeah, there may be because, like I said, the S-300s are not actually in active service yet. Apparently, there have been delays in the training. But they are expected to go into active service sometime between the middle of next month and February. So if Israel really is going to do something, it's going to be in the next couple of weeks here. And they may just go ahead with a decapitation strike against Assad himself.
Well, they got the Syria's got the Tor and the Panzer S-1. So the Panzer probably took out most of those, majority of those F-16 launch missiles. And, Mike,
yes.
One real quick thing. Did you see the final test for the Avangard? Because it's going into production in 2019. That's the Russian.
Yeah, I didn't actually see it. I understand Putin was there for the test, and it went really well. It flies at Mach 20. That's almost orbital speed. And it combines a ballistic missile with one of these hypersonic gliders, which actually delivers the payload to the target. And... So that's a nasty piece of work because it can easily evade all of the United States ballistic missile defense systems.
And Poseidon's going to start their second phase of testing. That's the underwater drone that can deliver a 50 and 100 megaton. That's, the last resort weapon. That has a cobalt casing, supposedly, too. So you don't want to use that, be on the side of the, on the coast.
No, you definitely don't want to do that. And I question the claim that this is going to have a 50 to 100 megaton warhead. The Russians only ever built one 100 megaton bomb, and they did it basically as a technology demonstrator. And when they set it off, they were so afraid of it, they dialed it back to 50 megatons, and the scar it left on the Earth is still visible in Google Earth. I would say, in all probability, you're looking at most 3 to 5 megatons as a deliverable weapon.
Yeah, can that be fit into some kind of submersible like that size? I mean, that thing's huge. I mean, can they shrink it? You know, like, I mean, something like that? Can you shrink something like that? Like from that 50 to a mega, you know, the Tsar bomb to something smaller? Because it's been a long time.
Well, the Tsar bomb was built in an earlier age where nuclear weapons were built large, but they've been modernized over the years. And warheads are now, powerful warheads are now small enough to fit inside a reentry vehicle on like the Trident missile. So, yeah, they're very small.
I think that's 50 to 100 mega. That's kind of overkill, don't you think?
Yeah, that's why I'm questioning it.
But, all right, Mike, have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. And getting on back to the news here. Over in Brussels, apparently a man opened fire at a restaurant in central Brussels with a Kalashnikov. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. Apparently, he just fired 3 rounds through the window and then made his escape. The police are saying they don't believe it's a terrorist attack. They're not going to rule it out just yet, but they think there may be another motive there. But Brussels, at least that part of Brussels, is on lockdown here. Okay, Moscow does not exclude that in the coming days, the Ukrainian army may move to full-scale hostilities in the Donbass. This is coming from Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova. And apparently, last week in an interview, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov expressed concern about the strengthening of the Ukrainian armed forces grouping in the Donbass, as well as Kiev's active preparations for possible military actions against the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics. And according to him, such steps of the Ukrainian authorities are aimed primarily at organizing armed provocations on the contact line, as well as on the Russian-Ukrainian border in the region of Crimea. Now, maybe, maybe not, because there's this Ukrainian general, former defense minister of Ukraine, Alexander Kuzmuk, on a television interview saying that Ukraine has lost the political support of Western countries because Ukraine does nothing but create problems for them. And Kuzmuk said it's not easy to make a frank assessment, and it's not a positive one. Says the message that they're getting from Western countries is that Kiev needs to start solving its own problems on its own. So he's basically saying that Poroshenko is without political support. Now, maybe he's going to start wars in the Eastern Republics as a cover for the fact that things are so bad in Ukraine. Or maybe it'll give him pause. And what's really interesting, Poroshenko has now ended the martial law that was imposed following the Kerch Strait incident. The earlier talk had been that he was going to ask for an extension, and instead he said, no, it's over. He's terminating the period of martial law imposed in several regions of the country. So that is a positive sign as well. Over in Russia, they are expanding their list of Ukrainian individuals and companies under counter sanctions. Looks like Russia is learning how to play that sanction game as well, but they learned at the feet of a master, the United States. And Dmitry Medvedev has signed a decree expanding the list of these individuals and entities under counter sanctions, and saying there are special restrictive measures to be applied against them. This was done to protect interests of the Russian state, companies, and citizens of Russia. Now, last November 1st, Medvedev had signed a decree introducing special economic measures against 322 Ukrainian citizens and 68 companies. So, Germany has issued a very stern warning. This is coming from Germany's foreign minister, Heiko Maas, saying that the United States should not even think about placing nuclear missiles in Europe after pulling out of the INF treaty. And obviously he's concerned about a fully blown Cold War style nuclear arms race, as Russia is already saying they'll build up their tactical defenses along Europe's periphery in the face of what's expected to be a buildup of American intermediate range arms. But whatever happens between the U.S. and Russia, Germany wants no part of it. And he's asking everybody to come back to the table and try and get back to the INF treaty. For 30 years, the treaty has prohibited stationing intermediate range arms in Europe. Any push to change that would be met with widespread resistance in Germany. So at least there's one calm and cool head. Down in Israel, they're agreeing to early elections. They'll be April 9th of the coming year here. And apparently, the stall came over this bill on the military draft of ultra-Orthodox men. Up until now, they have been exempt from Israel's military service because of how strict their religion is. But it's caused a real split in Israel. It's caused a real split in the Knesset. And so now it looks like the Knesset, the coalition government, is on the verge of collapse. Now, some of that is good, some of that is bad. What's bad about it is it allows Netanyahu to unilaterally make military decisions without having to go before the Knesset. And right now, between his corruption allegations and living conditions in Israel, he might decide a good war is going to solve his problems. Others have a different opinion. Over in Press TV, Palestinian lawmaker Mustafa Bergoti told the Associated Press that in dissolving parliament, early elections, they are proof of Israel's great failure. And it does look like their government is becoming just as factionalized and unstable as our own. Chris Hedges is out there describing Israel as frightened and desperate. They've lost control of the narrative. People are not buying the propaganda anymore. The boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is really taking off. And Israel is very, very concerned that more and more people are starting to question the Holocaust. By the way, our military command has just issued an order to all military people that they will not question the Orthodox account of World War II. They will not question the 6 million. It is now a violation of the rules for them to do so. So somebody really is afraid somewhere. And even with the federal government shutdown and the argument over the border wall, the senators are still trying to sneak in that amendment to the spending bill that would make an Israel boycott illegal. And if they succeed, some public interest group, probably Judicial Watch, is going to have to go right to the Supreme Court and say, this is a violation of the First Amendment. Boycotts are a recognized form of peaceful protest protected by the First Amendment. Okay. Over in Korea, more than 1,000 South Koreans filed a lawsuit demanding financial compensation for their forced labor in World War II by the Japanese. But they didn't sue Tokyo. They sued their own government in Seoul because apparently, years ago, Japan actually sent money to compensate these South Koreans, and the government in Seoul never got around to distributing it. So now there's a lawsuit that will hopefully get things back together for them. Senator Rand Paul is praising Donald Trump for doing exactly what he promised by withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria and derided all the armchair generals in Washington who want to stay at war forever because it's fun and it's profitable here. And on State of the Union, Rand Paul said he's very proud of Trump's determination to get troops out of the Middle East. Well, again, Rand, it's a good sign. The question is, where are those troops going? Are they really coming home, or are they going someplace else? China has rolled out its latest combat drone. It's called the Wing Lung 1D Combat Unmanned Aerial Vehicle. It can carry over 10 different types of weapons, up to 800 pounds, and can stay in the air 35 hours without refueling. And apparently it's an all-composite design. And China plans to sell it to customers worldwide. So they've nicknamed it the Pterosaur. And apparently it can be armed with the BA-7 air-to-ground missile, the YZ-212 laser-guided bomb, the YZ-102, a killing bomb, and the 50-kilogram LS-6 miniature-guided bombs. This is going to put a real crimp on Israel's drone sales because that sounds like a real winner over there here. A little bit of an article that came on out here from VoltaireNet talking about Japan's recent militarization and saying that the Japanese army is now as strong as it was in the Second World War. Well, that could be inconvenient, except, of course, they lost the Second World War. So I'm hoping we're not going to see them stir up some trouble. But it just feels like everybody wants to go to war, and they're just waiting for a starting time here. Speaking of war, another article, this is out of Al Jazeera, is talking about the global arms trade network. Arms are big, big business. It's worth about $100 billion a year. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. So we're talking about the global arms trade network. A lot of it above board, the big arms shows where the deals are made for the weapons. Then, of course, there is the dark world of underground arms trading, the shadow world. And somebody apparently put together a documentary based on Andrew Feinstein's book, revealing some of the largest and most corrupt arms deals in history. Now, if you ever saw the movie Charlie Wilson's War, you'll remember that sequence where Charlie Wilson flew to Israel and purchased weapons Israel had captured in order that they would be untraceable back to the United States. So that's the way these things work. Now, Great Britain is the largest arms producer in Western Europe. It's also a top exporter of arms to Saudi Arabia. The most notable deal between the British and Saudi Arabia is the Al Yamama arms deal, in which British weapons manufacturer BAE Systems was the main contractor. And that goes back to 1985. So when they say that war is good for business, it's certainly good for the weapons business, but not much else here. All right, let's talk about our domestic politics here. As you know, last week, Michael Flynn was supposed to be sentenced. And instead, the judge has delayed the sentencing into next year. And it basically shows how far Robert Mueller is willing to go to destroy President Trump. Because apparently the whole point of this waiting period is to put more pressure on Flynn to cooperate with the Mueller investigation. By basically, they're trying to get him to lie here. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, there was this story about how an entire floor of the court in Washington, D.C., the U.S. Court of Appeals, literally closed off the entire fifth floor. And now we're getting some more information. Apparently, Chief Justice John Roberts has blocked a contempt citation imposed by a D.C. federal court in a secret case supposedly involving the Mueller investigation. And this is an extraordinary action that could lead to the first secret Supreme Court hearing in American history. So now we're getting into Star Chamber territory, and that's a dangerous sign. But Mueller's probe, which was supposed to be about investigating Trump's election, but has just spread everywhere, apparently issued this subpoena to a foreign corporation owned by some unknown foreign state to testify before the federal grand jury. Now, the corporation objected to that subpoena, claiming it is immune from compulsory process under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. And that statute is the sole basis for U.S. courts claiming jurisdiction over a foreign government, including, in this case, a corporation owned by a foreign government. But it's all hush-hush, and apparently to keep it that way, when that went to the U.S. Court of Appeals, they literally closed off the entire fifth floor. This was back on December 14th. And apparently they confirmed Howell's decision, but we still don't know what corporation or who owns it. Okay, we're going to take a break here for station identification. We'll be right back with hour number two. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.